Of Pick of the Blizzard, Perek Tes. Didn't get it, don't worry. Perek Tes. So the last few weeks we were discussing the sugya of the fourth day of creation, which was the sun and the moon and whatever. Now we're moving on to the next part of the story of Bryas HaOlam, the fifth day of creation. So now we're going to speak about what Hashem created. This perek is going to speak about what Hashem, the animals that Hashem created on the fifth day of creation, and then it's also going to talk about different things that historically happened on Thursday, the fifth day of the week, Thursday, and then it's going to go back to things that Hashem created on the fifth day of creation, and then the next perek is completely tangential. There's a whole medrashic explanation to the story of Yonah, where Yonah got swallowed up by a big fish, whatever. So it's somewhat related to the fifth day of creation. And then afterwards, we go to the sixth day of creation in Perek Yudal. But, so Perek Tes, we start talking about what Hashem created on the fifth day of creation. Just as a general background, Chazal, the way Chazal look at things, there's five types of creations besides man that exist in the world. There's Behema and Chaya, which more or less, behemoth means domesticated animal, and chaya means wild animal. And for a lot of halachas and ways of looking at things, behemoth and chaya is really the same type of thing. It's one category, behemoth or behemoth and chaya. And then there's dagim, which is fish, which the way what Chazal call fish is anything that lives in the sea, that's called a fish. Chazal don't make distinctions between if it's a crustacean or it's a crab or it's a jellyfish or if it's a sea fish or a swordfish or if it's a whale or if it's a dog. All these things, they live in the water, it's called a fish. Actually I just skipped one. There's birds. Birds are things that fly. In zoology they have different definitions for birds. If it has feathers, it's a bird. It could be also Chazal will be masculine to that, I'm not sure, but turkey.
Hunting birds.
We're going to discuss that. But like, let's say turkeys don't. I think turkeys don't fly, but they consider. Everyone agrees that they're called a bird because they have wings and have feathers. So birds. So we have behema, chaya, oif, dagim, and the last one are shrotzim, insects, which. The nafkamina for us, what we can eat, was a certain type of grabbers that this is you're allowed to eat. Fine. So the first two categories, behema and chaya, were not created on the fifth day of creation. They were created on the sixth day of creation. They're kilo more advanced creations. They're more similar to man, which was created on the sixth day of creation. So on the fifth day of creation, we're just talking about birds, fish, and insects. Behema, oif, dagim, and what we're going to call a shratzim or chagavim. So let's read it. Bachamishi, on the fifth day of creation, hishritz min amayim kol min oif. On the fifth day of creation, all types of birds crawled out of the waters. That's how I'm translating the word hishritz.
Yeah, thanks.
Art school translates the word hishritz as teeming. Others translate it, I'm not sure exactly, but I think that that's the most appropriate translation.
The word is shared.
Sherit, they're crawling, like crawled out. That's what they do. Zuchar ben Akevus, male birds and female birds. The Radal points out that all these things we're going to talk about, we're always going to say Hashem created the male ones and the female ones. We speak it out by all of them, except for when we're going to talk about Hashem creating man, and when we talk about Hashem creating the Leviathan. According to Perek Yudal Lezer, there was only one Leviathan that Hashem created. It wasn't a male or female, like the Gemara says. It was only one. Hashem only created one Leviathan. But it was Zohar and Keva, Tohayim Utameim, pure birds and impure birds, kosher birds and non-kosher birds. Fine. So the Medrash says like this. We're going to get into a little bit of a halachic discussion about all these types of animals. Birds are Tohar with two Simonim. Meaning there's two things about a bird that if it has these two things, then you know it's a kosher bird. The truth is that the Torah doesn't talk about any simanim when it comes to birds. The Torah just lists off, both in Parshas Shemini and Parshas Re'eh, the Torah gives a list of what birds are not kosher. And then everything else is kosher. So we have to figure out, Chazal figured out what's the common denominator of all the birds that are not kosher, that we can learn out that the rest of the birds are indeed kosher. So Chazal said that let's say, the way Pirkei Avos brings it down, there's two simonim, two signs that if a bird has this, you know it's for sure kosher. What are these two simonim? The zepek uva kukum a niklaf. A zepek is what's called a crop of a bird. It's sort of like a stomach. It's a crop. And the kurkuban, you know what kurkuban is? Mm-hmm. The kurkuban is the gizzard of Oz. The kurkuban, it's a gizzard. Right? So if it has a crop and a gizzard that's niklaf, it's peelable, meaning you could take your finger and you could peel the outer layer of the crop and the gizzard, then you know it's a kosher animal. If it's not peelable, then it doesn't have that simon. I meant to bring pictures, but I wasn't able to be misadrit, but malasot. But Rabbi Eliezer says be'etz vayisera, that it has an extra finger, meaning basically birds usually look like this. They have like three fingers like this, and then the kosher ones have sort of like another thing like sticking out. Actually, like more like in the back of their leg, like this, something like that. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, not just zepek and kurkuban niklaf, but it also has to have an etzba yisera. And if it has these three simanim, then you know it's a kosher bird. Now the truth is that it sounds like from the medrash, you know. First we're saying two, and then Rabbi Eliezer adds a third. In the Gemara, it doesn't sound like that. In the Gemara, it says, in the Mishnah, Misachas Chulin, and Daf Nuntes, I believe it's on Daf Nuntes, yeah. Daf Nuntes, it puts all three together. Kol sheyesh by etzba yisera, v'zepek, v'kogon ha'niklaf, tar. It needs three. It's not like two and then there's a machlokes. It sounds like it needs three. But apparently, as the Radal points out, it seems like from Pirkei Avos that there's some sort of machlokes whether it needs an etzba yisera or not. But in our Mishnah, we don't have such a machlokes. There's another point that comes up in the Gemara that Pirkei Avos doesn't seem to mention it. That the Mishnah also says there has to be any doris. It's not a predatory bird. It's not predatory. It doesn't, the way there's a Sefer called Sichas Chulin, which is like pictures and explanations of different things in the Metzius of how animals work out. He explains that Darius means that it holds onto the animal while it's eating from it and it eats it while it's alive, as opposed to, let's say, just killing whatever its prey is and then eating it. An animal that's Darius starts eating it while it's alive. So the Mishnah says if an animal is dairis, then you know it's tummy. So there should really be four simanim when we're talking about a bird. One, that it's zepek niklaf, kurkuban niklaf, etzba yisera, and this, that it's not dairis. And in fact, Tosis even say that inu dairis is special because there's a Tosis in Chulin that says that if it's in a deris, then you don't have to check if it has all the other simanim. You can assume that it's good. But it sounds like in the Gemara, that from the Mishnah, that there's four simanim. What happened to in a deris? So I think the Pshat is, if you look good in the Lashon of the Mishnah over there, the Mishnah says that kol oif a deris, tamei. Any bird that is attacks, it's tameh, kol sheyesh etzba yisera, v'zepek, v'kogavan niklaf, tar. It breaks it up into like two categories. If it's deris, it's tameh. If it has these other three simanim, it's tar. The way to understand the Pasha Pshat, and Reb Chaim Brisker also says this actually, in Hilchos Machalas Tesuris, he's trying to answer other questions, but really, it's just Pasha to answer how to understand all of this, that deris is a simon that it's tameh. These three things are, if it has deris, it's automatically tummy. If it has these three simani tara, that's simon that it's tar. We don't say that any deris is a simon that it's tar. Eni Duris is just a lack of a simen that it's tummy. It sounds lumdish. It's a lumdish thing that we're not getting into why you have to create this distinction. This over here in Pasha Pshat, it makes sense, a lot of sense, this distinction, because we didn't pick it up as it didn't mention Eni Duris, because we don't care about Eni Duris. Eni Duris is just a lack of a simen that it's a non-kosher bird. It's not a simen that it is a kosher bird. Fine. Reading weiter. Ushnei minei oifes nivcharu lekarbon v'oila. There's two types of birds that were chosen by Kodesh Baruch Hu to be able to be brought as a korban and as a oila. Elohim. These are the two types of birds. Tarim v'bnei yan. Right. Turtle doves and what is it? Turtle doves and pigeons. Which one is which? I don't remember. You remember which one is which? I don't remember. Is turtle dove?
Dove, that's how it's normally translated.
Yeah, Yonah's dove? Okay, I don't remember. It's interesting, Lashon says that they were chosen.
What's the difference?
What?
Between both animals. I don't see the difference.
They're two types of birds.
No, if you saw them next to each other, you would see their difference?
Between that, what's the difference?
Scientific.
Between a dove and a pigeon.
There's a clear difference.
Yeah?
When you look at them, you'll see. I have something at home, I'll show you.
We call it a single word in Portuguese, so that we don't do it. Except for the color.
Really?
Yeah, similar. Color, the same thing. So.
Interesting. But there's halachic differences between Tarim and Bnei Yonah. Because Tarim is only kosher when it's older, and Bnei Yonah is only kosher when it's younger. Like the Gemara says something like, if its neck starts getting yellow, so that's a simen that it's getting older. Something like that. I don't remember exactly how it works. What exactly the ages are. But it's an interesting lesson that Pirkei Avot says, Nivchu the korban v'oila. They were chosen for korban and for an oila. Pashas, that means that they were chosen, there's only two types of korbanos that you can bring a bird for. A chatas and an oila. So pashas, what it means is, l'korban, meaning for a chatas, v'oila, and for a korban oila. But then the Radal says, but why is a korban chatas called stam korban, and the oila called the oila? Why would we say it like that? So the Radal suggests maybe changing the girsa and taking out the vav. So nivchu l'korban oila, chosen as a korban oila. And he wants to say that maybe it means that, it doesn't mean korban oila as a burnt offering, as the way we know the expression korban oila. Rather, in this context, korban oila would mean literally a korban that's oila, that goes up on the mizbeach. Or he says that we know that there's a halacha that a guy could only bring a korban oila. A guy can't bring a korban shlamim or a korban chatas. They won't accept it in the Beis Hamikdash. But there's different explanations why, because a guy can only do things for himself. So if he's bringing a korban that he gets to eat from it, so we don't look at it like he's bringing a korban to Hashem. It's just a different way for him to eat to eat a piece of meat or something. But if he brings a korban oila, which is completely burnt, so that we let a guy bring. So it could be that we're speaking dafka about a korban oila because even for a guy, there's a certain type of korban. And then the Radal says it's not pashit if there's halacha that you can only bring a Torah and a Bnei Yonah as a korban that applies to a guy as well or not. Okay. But that's the sugi of birds. Next, Bachamishi Hishmitz bin Amayim Kol Min Dogim. On the fifth day of creation, all types of fish crawled from the waters. So Charmin Akevis, male fish and female fish. Tameim Notarim, kosher fish and non-kosher fish. Bishnei Simonim Hemetayim. You can see that a fish is tar with two signs. Bisnapir Vikaskasis. If it has fins and it has scales. V'imlav him tameim. If the fish doesn't have fins or scales, it's tummy. That's a shligul redundant, because we just said with two simanim it's tahar. That tells you that if it doesn't have it, then it's tummy. Like by the birds, we didn't say, oh, if it doesn't have these things, it's automatically tummy. And by chagovin, we're not going to say the same thing, that if it doesn't have the simanim, then it's tummy. Here, Dafka says that if it doesn't have it, it's tummy. The Radal says, it's coming to teach you an interesting thing. That like I mentioned in the beginning, any Chazal called a, what's called a fish? Chazal understood that a fish is anything that lives in the water. That's called a fish. So if you had some sort of cow, let's say, that somehow lived in the water, yeah, and you say to me, look, this cow lives in the water. It chews its cud, has split feet, so I can eat it, right? No, it lives in the water. It has the status of a fish. A fish is only kosher if it has fins and scales. Anything that lives in the water, only if it's only kosher if it has fins and scales. Even if it has other simanim that, or let's say you have some sort of animal creature in the water that looks like a bird, and the taka has a gizzard and a crop or whatever, and the etzbeisera, all these things, and it has the simanim like a kosher bird, that doesn't matter. It lives in the water, it has to have the simanim of a fish. It can't have other simanim to become tar.
It's a very strange animal. It looks like a duck and it's dark and
That looks like what?
It has like a beak like a duck, but it's like
a duck.
Duck-billed
platypus.
Yeah, I think
that's
very weird.
Tasmanian.
A Tasmanian
devil.
Is it a whatever? I don't know what it is.
It's
a
mammal.
What is it?
They're very good at eating insects. They eat termites.
Yeah.
So they're very efficient at eating termites. Fish. I never even gave them thought to them being protein.
Yeah, sure. There's the fish that lays the eggs, and then there's
I just mentioned it. I can understand it, but when we eat foods like cows, we know it, the female cow, aren't we?
Ox meat. I don't know.
Or it's just. Or
I think ox meat. I think ox meat is supposed to be like very tough. That's why people don't eat it.
Either it's been neutered or female. I don't think it's.
Says Zimara, if you eat, so one of the bad things that you shouldn't eat. A couple of things that are bad for you if you eat it. Ox meat is like one of them.
Yeah.
If you eat the cow, the meat of a shore, it's not good for you.
Right.
But
the fish we don't distinguish. Fish
right.
We don't distinguish.
I don't think so.
By chickens, we eat we don't eat the rooster. We're not known to eat the rooster.
Yeah?
Yeah, we just don't. You don't buy a rooster.
Okay. I never checked.
No, but we don't even think about it with fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Doesn't say
you're
female. That's why
you
say it.
Oh,
it says.
Yeah, it says.
Yeah.
They have them both.
Interesting.
Yonah. Pshat is, I'm right now I'm in Yonah. Pshat is actually swallowed by two whales.
You're learning Yonah right now?
Learning Yonah, so according to Rashi. And the Rada, basically.
It says Dag and it says Daga.
Dag and Daga. Why is it two different things? Why is there a hail in one? So the Pshat is, it was swallowed by a Zakhar. There's lots of room in there. So he was like, living luxury. He wasn't praying to get out. So the Hashem had this Zakhar spit him out into an akeba where there's children. So he was all cramped because of the children in there. So now he's really cramped. So now he has to pray to get out.
So we're going to learn Matz Hashem in Perek Yud, in Perek Yudav Elazar, that he doesn't learn the story like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Perek Yud, the whole Perek Yud is gonna be about Yonah and his whole story. Whatever. We'll see. You'll probably especially appreciate it because you're learning Yonah.
I've seen a couple of times in the
Mefarshim.
In the Mefarshim, there I'm learning four Mefarshim talking about Yonah.
Okay, let's go right there. B'chamishi hishvitz min amayim kol minei chagovim. On the fifth day of creation, all types of grasshoppers crawled out of the waters. Zuchorim and Akevis, male grasshoppers and female grasshoppers, Tumeim and Tahoim, kosher grasshoppers and non-kosher grasshoppers. Or, I think that in this context it just means all shrotzim. We're not necessarily talking about Chagavim in particular, we're talking about all shrotzim. B'shnei simanim hen mitayim. Grasshoppers are tahor with two simanim. B'chorayim arukim, if it has long jumping legs, Shibahin makapitzin ala aretz, that they could use those legs to jump on the ground. Ubekinofayim machasin es kol guf, and I have to have wings that cover the whole body. That's what it says in Pirkei Avot.
Now, very simple, right? Because Friday was just go to one around the block.
Yeah.
Sounds like every grasshopper there is see everything.
If you look in the Pesukim, in Parshas Shemini, it doesn't really say it like that, the way it says it over here. It says, it does give the names, but it says, this is what you could eat, from all the sheretz ha'oif, if it goes on four legs, and it has these jumping legs above its legs, to jump on the land, etc. So the pasuk says that it's only if it has four legs plus these two jumping legs. Pirkei d'Avos didn't mention anything about the four legs. It just said if it has these two jumping legs. Also, the Mishnah in Chulin, the same Mishnah, I believe, it says ubachagavim. We're talking about grasshoppers. Kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim, if it has four legs, va'arba knafayim, and four wings, v'kartzulim, and kartzulim are like long legs to jump. In modern Hebrew, kartzul means ankle. I know that because I sprained my ankle last winter.
You said four wings?
Four wings.
Yeah. We also didn't mention that. V'kartzulim, v'knafayim chayvin es rubay. And the wings have to cover roiv of the body. So here we said that the wings have to cover all of the body, and the Mishnah says roiv of the body.
Which is a stereo because the head, but, part of the body, a wing can cover.
You know. Okay, maybe it doesn't mean the head. Maybe it just means the goof, meaning like the main part of the body.
Yeah, here it says the whole body, and there it says.
So here and in the Pesukim it says that only if it has four legs. So why doesn't it say four legs over here? So the Radal says that four legs is not part of the simonim that say that a grasshopper is tahor. Four legs tells you that it's a sheretz. If it doesn't have four legs, it's not even called a sheretz. It's called something else. It could be it's not kosher. But it wouldn't have, let's say, there's certain lavim that when you eat a sheretz, you get this lavim. The Gemara in Makkah says, like, if you eat a sheretz, you can get like five lavim or something. So it's different lavim. But if it doesn't have four legs, it's not a sheretz b'chol. That's where the Radal says it. So we're first assuming that you have four legs. Then you want to say that it's tahor. So where does the simanim that it's tahor if it has these long jumping legs and it has the knafayim that cover the goof?
The knafayim that cover the goof, does that mean that they're capable of covering the goof? There's enough area to cover the goof? Or they mamish have to cover it? I don't know what that looks like.
Okay, so we'll discuss that in a moment. First we're going to continue talking about the four legs over here. The Radal brings a Teres Kayanim. It says in the Teres Kayanim in Parash Hashmini, Rabbi Omer, Kol Sheretz Ha'if Asher Loi Arba Raglaim Tomei Hu Lachem. That's a pasuk. Im Yesh L'Chameish Hareza Tahar. If it has four, if you have a Sheretz that has four legs, the Teres says that you're not allowed to eat it, says Rabbi, but if it has five, Tahar. So that seems to say that a sheretz that has five legs is not called a sheretz. I don't know if it means that you're allowed to eat it, but it means that it's not necessarily called a sheretz.
It's tahor.
It does say tahor. That does sound like you're allowed to eat it. But if what we're saying is, so if what we're saying is true, that four legs is the simon that it's a sheretz, and then you need this simonim on top of that to say that it's a tahor type of sheretz. So the Radal says that would be good, but Rebbe is saying that if it has five, it's not even called a sheretz.
What would have five legs? It's also very strange.
Yeah.
They have one extra. Usually things
go in, right. So in nature, goes symmetrical. Well, okay, let's say about six. We'll be with six.
So most insects are six.
Most insects are six.
That's why whenever I read this in the this is arba, and I'm always curious. Ants have six. Flies, bees, wasps,
most insects.
Most insects have six. Most, like, and then spiders have eight, right?
Spiders have eight. And I was trying to think to myself, there's
centipedes have ten.
Chagavim.
No, centipedes have ten, right? 100?
Yeah.
Do they really have 100?
Then there's different ones of centipedes. But but chagavim have four.
Four legs.
Grasshoppers have four legs.
Grasshoppers have four legs plus these two jumping legs? Is that how it works?
No.
No?
Those
four altogether?
Two of their four.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure about grasshoppers, but I know all of them
have six. So we're saying that it has to have four legs plus two more. I wanted to bring the picture book.
The green ones are also the Apollo, so grasshoppers now. It's different.
Well, praying mantis?
Yeah, the green thin one.
The one that looks like it has like a beard and it's like dominating?
What?
The praying mantis? Where,
it looks like a geological kind of thing. It jumps also, like it's green.
Yeah.
The one,
why do you say it has to have four and two?
That's what the Mishnah says.
It's in my living room the other day. Yeah,
in Chulun Daf Mem Tes.
There's a lot of legs. It's not all four. Maybe grasshoppers like what they call the one that fly and eat and destroy Egypt, maybe.
So the Radal wants to say that it could be that what the Torah's Kohanim means, that if it has five legs, it could become Tahor if it has these simanim, but not that it's automatically Tahor.
What do you mean by five legs? It's an abomination, right? Something,
yeah.
Something wrong. So I'll picture of Rabbi Chaim Kinevsky, like can say in a bracha, without Shem Hashem. On a chicken with four legs. The other day,
I saw about it.
Yeah.
But Moshe, it was from the Mir. In the Mir's chicken coop, they found a bird that has four legs, and they brought it to Rav Chaim Kinevsky. He said, I think he said it was a trefa, and then they asked if you have to make a Baruch Mishana Brias on it. He said that we don't find that he's supposed to say Baruch Mishana Brias on a bird, but apparently he made the bracha anyways without Shem
Malchus.
Yeah. The Mir is a little more confused that the Mir is a chicken coop.
If you want to feed 6,000 people and they serve fleishigs two, three times a week. But the Mir guys are farmers, no? But it's an interesting story. They say about Rav Chaim Kinevsky, when Rav Chaim Kinevsky was learning the sugyas of grasshoppers, so he wanted to check out a certain point, a nukud in the mitzvahs of how a certain grasshopper is or whatever. And apparently, a grasshopper, that exact type of grasshopper, jumped into through his window when he was learning the sugya, and he looked and he saw the thing, and he was able to learn it properly. But then, sometime later, He wanted to clarify another nukud or whatever, and the same thing happened again. The grasshopper jumped into his window, he was able to see it. So I don't know if the story is true or not, but they don't say it about you and me. Right? But Chaim Kinevsky wrote a whole sefer about halachos of kuntres, about halachos of grasshoppers, called Karnei Chagavim. And in Karnei Chagavim in Simon Tess, he actually discusses this kasha of the Radal. Without getting into it, he says that we don't hold on this drasha of Rebbe. The Rebbe says that only if it has arba raglayim and not chamesh, because we don't say that four comes to exclude five, because there's a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos discusses what happens if you have a beged that has five corners. So is it chayv in tzitzis or not? So the Gemara has different stodim, mem gimel and beis. So the Gemara comes out that a beged that has five corners is also chayv in tzitzis, because included in five is four. It's four, just it has an extra. So if a sheret has four legs, but also has an extra leg, that's also called a sheret.
So with a five cornered garment, do you have to put tzitzis on all five?
I'm not sure. I think so, but I'm not sure.
It sounds like it.
Could be. Then if there's only four, so which four? Which is the side that doesn't get? I don't know. But so that's one nukud. Okay, so the other nukud, what you were asking before about that it has to have wings that cover the body. So the Mishnah says that it has to have wings that cover the body completely. That covers rev of the body. The lashon of the Mishnah was katzulim v'knafayim v'katzulim v'knafam chayvin and shrubay kulan nesamaral. That the wing has to cover rev of it. Over here, in Pirkei Avos, it says that the knafayim have to be cover the whole thing. So the Bayis HaGadol you guys have on the bottom, he says that he brings this Gemara also. He doesn't say anything about it. But the Radal says that could be that what it means is that Rubei Kukulei. It means really the halach of the Mishnah is true that the wings have to only cover rub of the goof. And here when Pirkei Avos says that it covers the whole thing, it means it has to cover rub of it. And once it covers rub of it, we have a rule in halacha that if you have rub of something, it's as if you have the whole thing. So it's as if it's covering the whole thing, but it's not really. That's where the Radal answers up the question from the Mishnah, between the Mishnah and the Pirkei Avos. There's one more nekuda about the wings covering the goof of the animal, the goof of the grasshopper. There's a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah discusses this that we said that it has to the wings have to cover rive of the goof of the grasshopper. I'm going into this because nobody really discusses these things. So to us, it's like not Nagel Maisa. So it's more geschmack to like learn about things that you don't hear about usually, but. Does it have to really cover rive of it, or does it have to cover rive hanirale nine? Mean there's two types of rive. There's rive that's, let's say, 51%. That's already rive. That's one thing. Then there's rive that, without taking a ruler and measuring and seeing, is it covering 51% or is it not? With the naked eye, you should be able to tell that it's already covering rive of it. It's more than it's going to be more than rive. It's not. It could be. It's a subjective measurement, and then you'd have to figure out what most people consider covering most of it. What most people will be able to ascertain that it's considering that it's covering most of it. But does it have to be rov exactly, or does it have to be even more than rov? Rov is nearly nine. The naked eye that it's apparent that it's more than rov. So the Gemara brings two different studim. Two opinions. Chaim Kanevsky in that sefer, in Karnei Chagavim, which literally means the horns of grasshoppers, and Simin Ches discusses why would it need to be Rav and Nirlei Naim? If it's Rav, it's Rav. Why does it have to be Rav and Nirlei Naim? So he has two ways of understanding this opinion. Lamaisa, we don't pass it like this opinion anyways. We hold that Rav is Rav, and that's all you need. But at least that's what Chaim Kanevsky says, but a lot of other people say it also. But what's according to the opinion that it has to be Rav HaNirlei Naim, why should it have to be Rav HaNirlei Naim? So Rav Chaim Kanevsky brings two explanations. One is like this. We have a halacha by the shchit, by shchita, right? So when you shecht a bird or an animal, so there's two pipes in the throat. There's the kana and the veshet. The windpipe, the food pipe, right? So by an animal, you have to shecht rive of both pipes. By a bird, you have to shecht rive of one pipe. So what's called rive? Rive usually means 51%. But there's a halacha in regard to shechita that has to be rive and nearly nine. It has to be more than 51%. It has to be obvious to the naked eye that you shechted rive of that pipe. We're talking about birds, rive of one. We're talking about animals, rive of two. So, Rav Chaim Kanevsky says that could be that this is the same thing as that. Over here, when we say that you need rev and nearly nine, that the wings cover rev of the goof, it's similar to over there by Shechita, where it has to be not just rev, it has to be rev and nearly nine. And then he says that would get into machlekes over there by Hilchos Shechita, it's a machlekes if it's a halacha deraisa, derabanan that's rev and nearly nine, or if it's deraisa that it needs to be rev and nearly nine. Or if it's Rabbanan and really Midrash and Rav is good enough, it could be over here too, you would only need it Midrabbanan. Or is the Pshat, no, that's part of the Simen. Part of the Simen is that it has to be that the wings cover Rav of the goof. Rav and Yerlanayim of the goof. That's part of the Simen. It's not like a new halacha. If it's not that, then it's a different type of a Chagav. That's not the type of Chagav that the Torah said is Mutar. So there'd be also the Raisa. So he discusses, Rav Chaim Kanevsky discusses, would the requirement of having it be rav nearly naim of the goof, would that be a halacha d'oraisa or a halacha d'rabbanan? Okay, fine. What time is it? The other time?
5:30.
5:30. Fine. Let's go weiter. V'elu shesharetzu min amayim, all these creatures that climbed out of the waters, dagim v'chagavim, for example, fish and grasshoppers, ne'acholin shalei b'shchita. They're eaten without shchita. You don't have to shecht a fish when you eat it, and you don't have to shecht a grasshopper when you eat it. Aval ha'oif, eno ne'achol ala b'shchita. But a bird, you can only eat a bird with shchita. The Gemara has a bochoikis, if shchita's oif min Torah, if shchita's oif is not min Torah. The Gemara actually says that Rabbi Lezer happens to hold that shchita is chiyuv min Doreisa. Min Doreisa, you have to shecht the bird. Some people hold it as min Doreban, but and the Radal says that, oh, Rabbi Lezer is l'shitasa, because it sounds like from here that it's a chiyuv Doreisa. Okay, I'm not sure if that's true, that it sounds like that from here, but it could be that that's all of the Rabbanan. I don't know why he sees over here that it's more derisive. I'm not sure. All these things that are created from the waters, dama nishbach kamayim, their blood can be spilled on the floor like water. All these animals that are created from the land, they have to be. You have to cover their blood with dirt. But this line in the Pirkei of the Blizzard is somewhat problematic.
It's kind of funny. I did once kisui adam in a chicken. What's the shot?
Oh. Good. So, first of all, let's see what is kisui adam. Kisui adam is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah says that when you shecht, you have to cover the blood. So when you shecht, what? What type of things require the blood to be covered? So the halacha is that this is one of the instances where there's a difference between a behema and a chaya. Behema, you don't have to shecht, you don't have to cover the blood. A chaya, you have to cover the blood. That's one nekuda. Bird, you have to cover the blood. Now we're saying over here that fish and chagavim, their blood is you don't have to cover it, because they're created from the water, so their blood can be spilled on the floor like water, and they don't have to be covered. But this, which is created from the land, their blood is not spilled on the like water, and therefore things which are created from the land, I think the way you have to read it is like this: things that are created from the land, there are cases where you have to cover the blood, not by a behema, but by a chaya. Now you're asking a good question, Rabbi Epstein, but we just said before that birds are created from the water. So why do you have to do kisui adam on birds? It's a good question. And the Radal asks the question. And the Radal says that there's a mistake over here in the Pirkei of Blazer, and he wants to offer a different reading. What?
Where is it?
The Radal in the end of Yud Aleph. What? I'll read it to you. Gersa sa sefer tamua, it's wondrous. Darei oif b'yasim in a mayim, kedi not get a pirkin lo b'lazer, reish pirkin. Birds are created from the water, like we said in the beginning of the parak. If you skip the parentheses, it says, akein yer nochen sheish kan chisaren v'tol sefer. It appears to me that there's something lacking and there's a mistake in writing it down. V'kein tzarek lamed, this is what it's supposed to say. Elu shenivru min amayim, doma nechol kamayim. These creatures which are created from the water, then you can eat their blood like water. Meaning, by fish, there's no halacha, you don't have to salt fish, because there's no halacha of malicha by fish, because you're allowed to eat the blood of a fish. And the same thing, by chagavim, the grasshoppers that it's mutter to eat, you're allowed to eat the blood of the grasshoppers that it's mutter to eat. But the elosh in the rumina aretz, these creatures which are created from the aretz, daman osir b'achila, you're not allowed to eat the blood of animals that are created from the land. Chutz min ha'oif, except for birds, that sha'af abishan never mayim, even though birds are created from the waters, domay osir b'achila, it's also to eat the blood of birds. V'loy oid, and not only this, ela shetolim l'chaseseh b'afar. Not only is it also to eat the blood of birds, but also there's an extra chiyuv incumbent upon you that you have to cover the blood of birds when you shecht it. That's the way the Radal changes the gears over here in the Pirkei Avot Lazar. Because otherwise, why should birds be chayiv in Kisrei Dam? Birds are created from the water, they're not created from the land. Huh? No, the Radal is not a Rishon. The Radal lived in the early 1800s. He goes with Mahalach of the Vilna Gaon. That basically seems to be like, if it doesn't make sense, change the Gersa. Okay, maybe he had some Kisrei Yad, I'm not sure. I never really got to the bottom of that question, but I think I have a little bit of a way of understanding what the Pirkei Avot Lazar is saying.
Maybe just trying to give a different reading, not a different Gersa. A lot of that changed the word.
Right.
Give a different understanding of
the right. Is it, in Parsha Shemini, it says in the Torah, at the end of Parsha Shemini, by the way, hold on a second, the second class pasuk in Parsha Shemini says, Zeis teras ha-behema va'oif, this is the laws of a behema and a oif, v'chol nefesh ha-chaya, and all living things, ha-remeses ba-moyim, the crawl around in the waters, chol nefesh ha-sheretzes ha-lo-aretz, and all the crawling things that crawl around on the land. Right? So here the Torah says, all four categories that we just discussed. Behema, which we said behema and chai is the same, at least for this. Oif, dag, and sheretz. Now we know that the Gemara brings psukim that dag does not need shechita. Because it says, im kol bakar, im kol atzin, yishachit, what is it? Chaf, zayin, my base. Im is kol, hatzena bakar yishachit lahem. So it sounds like when Klal Yisrael was complaining that they want meat, whatever. So Hashem said, to Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hatzayin b'kar yishachet lahem. Are you going to shecht for them bird, cattle, and sheep? Im is kol degei yom ye all safe lahem. Are you going to gather for them all the fish of the sea?" But it didn't say shechting fish of the sea. So for Milchaz, I'll say that fish doesn't need shechita. So we know on one side behemoth for sure needs shechita, fish doesn't need shechita. And in the middle, the pasuk said, "Zeis teras ha-behemoth v'ha'oif, v'chol sheretz v'chol nefesh chaya ha-remeses b'mayim." It says behemoth, dagim, and then in the middle it mentions oif. So Gemara says, is oif like behemoth that it needs shechita, or is oif like dagim that it doesn't need shechita? And then the Gemara brings all kinds of different, tries to bring different rayas back and forth. Do birds need shechita or not need shechita? In fact, we said before, there's an opinion that birds only need shechita midbara, not midraisa. So Agav, the last pasuk of Parashat Shemini says, "Lahavdil ben atamei v'ne tahar v'ne chaya ha'nechelas v'ne chaya ashalei seyachel." To make a difference between that which is pure and which is impure, and that which animals which could be eaten and animals which cannot be eaten. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Machalos Asuras says that this pasuk is a mitzvah essay. It's a mitzvah essay that says that you should know the simanim of an animal. So right now we're being mekayim a mitzvah essay of lahavdil ben atamei v'ne tahar. We're handling the different simanim of how to make an animal kosher. So the Gemara says like this. This is Chulin Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Darish Ovigliloya. This guy Ovigliloya made a drasha like this. Behema shenivres min hayabasha, an animal which is created from the dry land. Hechshir b'shnei simanim. The Torah says that you're allowed to eat it with two simanim. Dogim shenivres min hamayir b'shnei b'vleik lup. Fish which are created from the waters are motel with nothing. Oif shenivres min harekak hechshir b'simin achad. We make a pshar. Birds which are created from the rakak, which we're going to translate as mud, is going to be in between fish and animals. Animals, you need to shecht both pipes in the throat in order for it to be kosher. Fish, you don't need any shechita b'chlal. Birds, which is in the middle, is created from the mud, which mud is ground and water together. Fish, all you need to do is shecht one simen. It's a compromise. Yeah? So it comes out from the Gemara that what? Birds are created from what? Water or from the ground?
Both.
Both. So I think that's the pshat in the Pirkei Avos over here. Avol, things that are created, let's say like this, things that are only created from the waters, then damanish b'kamayim. Then you could spill their blood like water, you don't have to cover it. But things that are created from the ground, including things that are also created from the waters, but also from the ground, like fish, like birds, then you have to, then there's instances where you have to cover the blood, like birds. That's how I would read the prick of the blazer in light of this Gemara. Nisa, the Chizkuni brings in Pashas Bracious, the Chizkuni brings a steer and psukim. If steer and mashmos of the psukim were birds created from the ground, from the ground or from the water, and the Chizkuni, not like the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's from mud. The Chizkuni answers by saying some birds are created from the ground and some birds are created from the water.
You read?
What?
I just read from Huli, was the Mishnah or the Gemara?
This is the Gemara.
What does the Mishnah say?
The Mishnah?
Does it bring also the difference between the Orcus and the
Behemoth? Yes. That's what the Mishnah
talks about.
The Mishnah says, Hashaykh et echad ba'oif v'shnayim b'behemah shchitas ekshera. If you shacht one pipe by an oif and two by behemah shchitas ekshera. Now, you're probably wondering, why does it say, like, Lashon B'dieved? It should say, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, that's what the Gemara discusses. But,
B'dieved, if you do two for
a behemoth, there's only two. So the Chizkuni says that some birds are like this, some birds are created like this. Like, I guess, like, pigeons, you don't usually see pigeons by the sea. There's some birds that are associated with water. Let's say ducks. Duck is a bird, but ducks hang out in the water. Or seagulls. They don't go in the water, but they hang around by the water. They're called seagulls. By the way, if a seagull hung out by the bay, what would it be called?
Bagel?
Al-Kopanim. So that's what the Chizkuni says. Some birds were created from this, some birds were created from this. Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, in Parshas Baal Eisla, it's the Talmud of Maram Rutenberg. Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, Parshas Baal Eisla, seems to go with this mahal. Some birds were created from the sea, some birds were created from the land. So he says, so birds that were created from the sea, why do they need shechita? They should be like fish. So he says that kilu is a kilu, mishum maris ayin. A bird is a bird. A bird, no.
A penis was created from the mind.
No. Let's say a duck. A duck hangs out in the water, but it doesn't live in the water.
No. It needs water to live.
A seahorse is a horse that lives in the water.
Ducks?
Okay, not really, but...
It's a bird.
Look, Al-Kupanim, Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel says that there's an Indian of Myers Ayin over here. So even birds that look like, that were created from the water, even though you would think like Me'ikar Din, they don't need Shechita, because they're like fish in some ways, because he says fish were created from water, doesn't need Shechita. But he says Afal Pikein, all birds need Shechita. All these things are not going like the Gemara. The Gemara says it was created from mud. One more thing over here. I guess we'll finish. What time is it? It's late, no?
8:10.
Okay, so we'll finish with this one nekuda over here. It's interesting. It comes out according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, why are birds and chayas chayev in kisoy adam? It sounds like because they're created from the arts. That's why birds and chayas are chayev in kisoy adam. There's other midrashim bring other reasons why birds and chayas are chayev in kisoy adam. You heard this? What are you laughing at? You still laughing at the bagels?
Moment of
There's a story by what's it called? When Eliezer came to get Rivka as a shidduch for Yitzchak, so it says in the pasuk that she saw Yitzchak. And she fell off the camel and she covered her hair, whatever, right? So Chazal said that when she fell off the camel, So she broke her basulim and the blood came out over there. And later on, when she married Yitzchak Lamaisa, so he saw she wasn't a basula. So they were choshed that Eliezer did something with her on the way, whatever. So what happened? So they brought her. They brought Yitzchak back to the place where she fell off the camel, and lo and behold, there were some. The way the Kolbo brings this story, there were some wild animals standing over there guarding the blood to make sure that nothing happens, so that no one comes and eats it, or whatever. To show Yitzchak that really, you know, she didn't do anything wrong. It was a natural thing that she, when she fell off, her basulin came out. Right, mukasets. The Kolbo says that there were chayes, and that's what, and this is the Kolbo in the beginning of Hilchos Kisei Adam. That's a chayes of zeichet to the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, because they watched over the basulim of Rivka. And why oifus? Why birds? So the Kolbo says that the birds, when Cain killed Hevel, so the birds showed Cain that you can like bury things underground to sort of like hide it. So that's what Cain realized, that people who get killed should be buried. So the birds were the ones that taught him. So therefore, the birds have a schus that when they get killed, their blood gets buried under the ground, under the dirt. That's what the Kolbo says. Other midrashim say that Chayas and Ofos were guarding the Besulim of Rivka. Well, according to Pirkei de Belazer, that's not the reason why Chayas and Ofos get Kisui Adam. According to Pirkei de Belazer, it has to do with the fact that they were created from the Aretz. So they're, when they die, they go back to the Aretz, get Kilu like that. What? Oh, so we're gonna see in a moment. We're gonna see in a moment why them is different. Could be. Yeah.
I have a question for you. If Rivka Menu was 3.
Yeah.
And she lost the Batula.
Yeah. She'll come back. Right.
Yes,
that's
three, yeah.
Right. So if she was already three years and one day, then yeah.
Okay.
Also, that it's machlek is gemar and yivamis on daf samich aleph amid beis. The machlekes and yivamis brings the machlekes if Rivka was 14 or 3. Rabbi Shmuel Chassid says she was 14. I'll be Seder Olam. No, not like Seder Olam. I'll be the Sefri in Parshas Vezeis HaBracha that says that she lived 127 years. That's what Tesis over there discusses. But what was I saying? I forgot. Ah, right. So that's what the Kobol says, and other Mefarshim say this also. The Chodor Zekenim and Parshas Chayisara, Parshas Chayisara, the Rekeach, also in Rekeach HaGadol, they all say this, but according to Pirkei Avos, they can't say this. Pirkei Avos says that the reason why they have Kisui Adam is because they're created from the land. So I think that the Pshat is that Pirkei Avos is L'shitasa, that he says a different story in Perek Tazayin and Pirkei Avos, which Beretz Hashem I'm going to see one day. He says that Yitzchak, They were chayshed. Eliezer Stamazai. They were chayshed him, and then Yitzchak went, and he taka found the basulim of Rivka. It wasn't that she lost the basulim when she fell off the tree. Stam, they were chayshed him, and she was taka still a basul. So it's a different story. That Pirkei Avos never said anything about when she fell off the camel, the basulim came out. Al Gaponim, another thing that they say is that by behemoths and chayas, one of the main differences between a behema and a chaya is that a behema, there are behemas that go on the mizbeach. In fact, most types of behemas go on the mizbeach. Cows and sheep, whatever.
So something else is being done with the dung.
Exactly. Masha'en came by chayas, there's no chaya that goes on the mizbeach. And by oifas, there's only two. Only two out of hundreds of different types of birds. That doesn't justify saving all types of birds. That's basically the answer that they say. Api Kabbalah, there's a Sefer Rabbeinu Yoel on Parshas in Vayikra Yud Zayin, was it Parshas Shmini, which says that the Chayas and Oifas are like Malachim, because Malachim have like wings, and Malachim, there's types of Malachim that are called Chayas, Chayas Oifanim, whatever. So therefore you have to cover their blood also. I don't know what that means, or where he's coming from, or whatever, but there's such a concept as that. I think we will hold it for over this week. All right, thank you guys for coming.